Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of FinTech Brews. I'm Nikki Rohde, and this guy
is Eric Cotton.
Hey.
Nice to see you all again.
And today is going to be a fun celebration episode that I just can't wait for you guys to all dig into. We have very special guests from a new central payments partner. Big move for us, Starion Bank. Don, Rick, would you guys introduce yourselves?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Don Morgan. I'm the CEO of Starion Bank. Happy to join you today. Very excited about our partnership here with Central Payments, and very, very happy to join you and join this podcast.
Rick Jeloff, CFO, COO, Starion Bank. And like Don, very excited to celebrate this and kind of commemorate it with this podcast.
Yes, sir. Well, we are too. And I just can't, I think a little bit about what it's taken to get here. And so we're going to dig into all the meat of this partnership, what it means, what it looks like for us, but also for the industry. And so as we think about central payments, you know, most of our listeners know who we are and what we do, but I'm going to back it up just a little bit because Central Payments was founded by a community bank. And in 2022, we spun out of that community bank and are now a standalone company. And part of that, we still use that same bank to issue card products and facilitate funds movement to do all the things we do. But as we've grown and evolved, that move actually gave us a unique opportunity to find another partner bank. So, drum roll, as everybody can imagine, we've landed on Starion Bank out of Bismarck, North Dakota, and we just really could not be more happy. There is a ton of things happening in payments, in the digital space, money movement. Obviously, we know 2023, 2024 has been a lot of enforcement orders and all this different stuff. Some people are pulling back, others are leaning in, and it's just, there is a continuity in this partnership that almost can't be described, but we're going to try and do our best with that here today. So with that type of kind of context or backdrop, I really want to know, Don, for you, if you'll just kick it off from the Starion side, tell us a little bit about Starion Bank. I know I teased out the Bismarck part, but what else?
Yeah, we're a community bank headquartered out of Bismarck, North Dakota. Been in business about 50 years, founded by Frank Larson 50 years ago. We're about $1.8 billion in asset size. We've got 16 branches, 13 of those across North Dakota, and then we skip over to Madison, Wisconsin with a few branches. So for us, we're always trying to look ahead and look around the corner. You know, we're an EOS shop. Our core values are to seek the need, act with discipline, inspire confidence, get her done, and do the right thing. And with those core values, we feel the need to always look ahead, right? Look around the corner. And when we looked ahead, we said, boy, fintech is, it's happening. And for us as community bankers, it's very disruptive for us. And so we said, you know, what are we going to do about that? And we said, you know what, we got to get in and learn this space. We got to find the right partner. And we've got to get in this space. We got to get involved. And every year that goes by, you know, you're about 3 years further behind. So we started that search for that right partner. And we are sure that we found it in Central Payments. We couldn't be happier joining up with you guys. Number one, you're helping us learn this space tremendously. And also, we've got some exciting things we're working on together. So as for us, it's just moving forward strategically. It's kind of how we're wired. We like to provide good, solid community services for all the financial needs, kind of like every community bank does. But we also like to look around the corner and try to stay, if not ahead of the curve, you know, at least keep pace with the curve.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. And, you know, I just have to commend both of you for your tenacity to get even to this point, too, because it's a lot of work. And to use your words, it is disruptive. And we'll talk later on the operational front, Rick, about what that's meant for the operations of Starion and getting the team kind of on board with that and marching. Again, it can be a tense conversation of like, why pivot? Is this a pivot? Are we pivoting or are we just evolving and recognizing, you know, probably one of my favorite things, you know, Eric's been in the space for, oh gosh, he's so old, a long time, and myself included. One of my favorite things has been watching banks and fintechs come together versus the threat that was perceived for such a long period of time. Bankers were saying fintechs, you know, coming after our customers, and fintechs are saying banks are too slow and methodical. And there is a middle ground. And I think watching the space evolve to get to this point has been really cool. And yeah, lots of innovation happening. And so I thank you guys for staying. The get or done value is awesome. And I have to believe it is literally get ER done. Is that right? Is it?
Yeah.
ER? Like that's why you've got it written.
We talked about the political correctness of that, but we decided, hey, we like the way it's written. So we're just going to go
with it. I love it.
So.
That's absolutely perfect.
Perfect. And I think, you know, Rick, this one's for you. Don touched on, you know, kind of why Starion got into the payment space. You know, I'd like to ask you, Rick, a little bit about, you know, obviously we're finding, especially under the current regulatory climate, navigating it wildly complex, you know, a lot of moving parts, enforcement actions seemingly coming out every week. Why now for Starion? Why? What makes this partnership unique? What are all the things that you feel really good about given the regulatory undercurrents today?
Well, I think the first thing is it's not the current environment isn't really conducive to entering the space, right? But we're not just entering the space today. We've been looking at this space for several years. I mean, our interactions started with you guys several years ago prior to even looking at this and really digging in and looking at due diligence and looking at the environment and looking at kind of our bank and the methodical growth as Don instituted. We don't see this as you guys are, or anybody says, pivoting away from community banking. We see this as an addition to community banking and really allowing us to even do more for our communities than what we're doing now. And I think that's the biggest thing is we continue to give back to our communities that we're invested in. And this will allow us to continue to do that for the individuals and everybody else that relies so heavily on community banks throughout everywhere else. You know, this space is near and dear to my heart. As Don knows, I've been kind of studying this for a while, even before we started talking to central payments. And it's really game changing as long as you can do it right and you get the right partners. And we really feel like we've gotten the right partner in central payments to get us over that hump.
You know, I would add too, if I could, you know, our customers are really driving this and community bank customers are really driving this. They're changing and evolving what they expect from their banking financial institution. And they're changing their needs and wants into a space that we as bankers, we don't necessarily have that expertise to fulfill on. You know, they want that great app experience. They want that depth and breadth of continuity across all the different apps. And how do you marry that up with, you know, kind of our historical traditional products? So it's kind of even more of us following our customers more so than anything.
That's really brilliant. And I love the idea of, Rick, what you were talking about. It's not an either or, it's an and. Mm-hmm. You know, and Don, you just kind of edified that. This isn't about a pivot for y'all. It's being aware, being in tune, being bold, and partnering with the right folks to bring that vision to life. And so that was summarized quite well. So Eric, I want to ask you a question. This is a dangerous place to be. Careful. Sure. Look at the fear in his eyes. So I laid the backdrop of where we've been. Why did we land on Starion, and why is this a unique and special partnership for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, why we landed on Starion, you know, we're talking to two of the reasons right now. I think the leadership team there, as you know, we'll probably extrapolate on in this discussion more, has the desire to expand beyond, you know, the walls of their bank to get, you know, this potential national presence, to engage with, you know, large national brands, a fintech company. It wasn't forced, you know, Rick touched on it. It was a desire of theirs. They've done their diligence. They've been looking at this for, you know, quite some time. And and now they've chose, you know, ideally we found each other. And it's, you know, been a very symbiotic relationship. I think we look at, you know, as a fintech, you know, we'll air quote that, but we very much look at ourselves as an extension of the bank. And I think that's almost how you have to as a fintech. Ultimately, you know, the bank is the regulated entity. They have, you know, the regulatory risk, the FDIC, everything runs through the bank. You have to accept that role, act as an extension of the bank when you're, you know, out in the market, you know, working with, you know, other companies, embedding a financial product. So I think the openness of both parties just to realize, you know, where the expertise lies in certain areas and the balance that displays has worked, you know, really, really well, you know, throughout the unfun part, which is the integration and all of the work and the hours and hours and hours of training and meetings, you know, has not been as painful as one would think, because there's a lot of learning going on. There's relationships getting built. So it's been, you know, it's been a really, really fun ride so far. And, you know, we're excited for what's to come.
Yeah.
You know, Nikki, and if I can add one more thing, the culture to us was a big piece of this relationship and the melding of the two parties together and how we intertwine and interact with each other really plays heavily into how we've been able to integrate this partnership so well. And, you know, us being an EOS shop, that's one of the high values that we really, really hold very near and dear, is making sure that any vendors that we partner with, they exhibit those same values that Don talked about earlier. And what we saw in Central Payments was that exact same thing. They had the same desires that we had, and they treat their people as well as we do throughout the whole integration process. So I can't speak highly enough about what you guys do with your organization as well.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. And also EOS. And so when we really started to get a little farther along, and I think I've even called Rick and said, hey, we're a little bit newer to the EOS kind of journey. What do you think we should do about this thing or that thing? Or how did you guys do this over time? Because we've only been running EOS for really well for 6 to 8 months.
Do we have to ask her? We are non-paid commercial disclosure.
Yeah, I think that would be a good EOS terms of
yeah, disclosures. All the disclosures needed.
Got to keep the compliance.
Scroll that fine print, please, now.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so everybody knows, this is a terms and conditions disclosure. Nobody's getting any credit for the EOS shop.
Wow, that
was
good.
Pretty good. Remember Micro Machines? Do you remember
yes.
that?
Oh, yeah, the guy.
Yeah.
Rick, you are not old enough to remember Micro Machines.
I absolutely am.
He probably collected them, Don. Who
I
knows?
Did.
So I think the egos have been completely set aside or just straight non-existent in this whole process, because we all acknowledge the pursuit for the greater good, why we're all doing this. And, you know, one of Central Payments's taglines really is making financial experiences better, making financial lives better. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we stay true to that, that kind of ultimate aspirational vision? And partnership, 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 and then partnership is a big part of it. So that is an important part of why we ended up with you all as well. So we're grateful for all of those things.
You know, Nikki, one more thing on that topic. It's just something I've learned that's resonated with me as we've moved along here. You know, I've definitely learned there's a lot of fintechs that speak fintech. And we as bankers, we really speak banking. And what we found with you guys is you speak both. And I think that's critically important, that kind of that language barrier, that mindset barrier, just that existence barrier. I know we found that in you guys, and you do speak both. And I think that's critically important for any bank looking to get in the space, or any fintech looking to, you know, partner up with a bank, is there is that language barrier there, and you got to somehow, you know, overcome that. And I think you guys bring that to the table.
Well, that's, I think that kind of speaks to one of our value propositions and differentiators, is we spent 9 years under a bank in, you know, a wholly owned subsidiary of a community bank. And so we know what it's like to sit across the table from regulators. We know what it's like to be in the hot seat and be able to have to, you know, structure product lines to be compliance first minded. And so it does kind of help translate into that space. And so, but thank you for that. That's a great compliment. Rick, I want to throw something your way. So when I think about operations, and I alluded to this a little bit before, but when you stand up a new business line, there's natural disruption, there's natural kind of questions. What are some things you're doing internally to kind of drive excitement around this and integrate within your current environment? You know, when we talk EOS, one thing that EOS beats on, once again, I'll just remind everybody that there's no disclosures. There's a thing called the proven process. And so when you've got these proven processes and you bring something like this into the fold, what are you doing to smooth the disruption?
Yeah, that's a tough one, really, because we can't disclose a lot to everybody right now, because we're still trying to work through kind of what's going on with the fintech, all of those things. And so you have to do it gingerly. You bring the right people in at the right times. We have a great program manager that's kind of running our show right now, really integrating with Central Payments really well, and kind of orchestrating what we need to do when, what people need to be involved, and making sure that everybody is educated. I think that's the main piece, is the education process and making sure that we have the right people, whether it be consultants, attorneys, making sure that our teams internally know exactly what's going on and where, so that we can explain it well to the regulators when they come in and ask us about it. Because as we alluded to earlier, there's a lot of regulation that's going on right now about this, and probably going to change the landscape of fintech. And we will work together to kind of flush that out too, if anything needs to change. But we've been remaining nimble, and we have to remain nimble in this space. I think Eric summed it up well to me one day, where he said, "Well, this is fintech. We better get used to this. It's changing every day." and we have internally, and that's just the mantra that we've had. And luckily, you know, internally, our executive team has done very well with it. And then our board has been really receptive to the fintech mantra and making sure that we're doing everything that we can do to be ready for this space and the ever-changing landscape.
Well, that speaks really to your guys' leadership too. And Eric, again, as per usual, I never want to compliment you, but your comment earlier was completely appropriate, and it does. It takes leadership and doing that well. So
shockingly appropriate, right? Yeah. That's what you were looking for, was shocking.
That's right. Because usually it's like, you know, not.
Yeah.
Those things. Hey, it can't be everything, right?
That's right.
So speaking of buzz and excitement, our first partner brand, we can't announce yet, which really sucks, but we will absolutely do a follow-on episode that will maybe be a tri-party conversation, something along those lines, because one thing I can assure all of the listeners is that the first partner brand that we are integrating and bringing to market between Central Payments and Starion is a household name. It is a name that everybody in the United States will recognize to some degree. And so that is incredibly exciting for many reasons, and specifically for Starion as a first kind of mover into a full-on space of digital payments. And I just, your operational structure, your leadership style, your intensity around creating a strong foundation for this business is what is going to make that program so successful. So the newness shall not be perceived as a weakness at all. It's doing it right. It's what I call second mover's advantage. You can be kind of first out there and fumble a little bit. You know, there's advantages to that too, but in this case, fast follower, second mover advantage, whatever terminology to be used. But you guys have done all the things to make sure that the foundation of this is strong and stable and compliant. And we just can't wait to make that full-on announcement of who that partner is going to be. So
tremendous restraint from your first.
I know.
I can feel it how hurts. Much you just want to shout
it
out.
It hurts. Yeah, brand. Like so inside.
Very, very.
Yeah, I'm watching. I'm
very proud of you.
I'm watching Don's face, and he's like bursting at the seams as well.
Yeah. I can't speak right now. I'm going to stay quiet for a while.
Yeah, mute, quick. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, Don, will this? You can hold quiet here for a second. I'm going to pose a question to Rick, but I'd like you, to answer the question following him, just because I think both of your perspective will be very interesting. So, yeah, Rick, when you introduce yourself, you've obviously been in traditional banking for a while. You mentioned you've been investigating fintech, kind of following the space, but as we've been getting into the integration with the teams integrating, all the learnings of fintech verbiage, how things work, the flow of data, the sheer amount of data that happens, and, obviously different, unique from traditional banking. Is there anything that jumps out, opens your eyes the most that, kind of comes to the top of your mind when you're thinking about what has been the biggest aha or the most important learning for you? And, as we're kind of navigating this path together.
The most important thing is to you got to be ready for change, constant change. And you got to be ready when the iron's hot, you got to strike, because people are going to move fast at certain junctions of everything. And if you're not willing to move with them, it jeopardizes the whole thing, especially when you're moving with multiple parties and trying to figure things out. And you have to be able to retain that knowledge, or at least have a central hub of that knowledge. And not only that, but you have to be able to correspond it in a way that everybody, average Joes, everybody understands exactly what you're talking about. Because as you said, that jargon is so different. And what we deal with in community banking and traditional banking is similar to what we're seeing in fintech. It's just different acronyms or different ways to say it. And so it becomes a translation game and making sure that everybody is right there with you, especially, in this heightened regulatory environment. You got to make sure you're corresponding in a way. And I think that's what Central Payments has really helped us with a lot, is understanding that, translating it into that banking terminology that we all know and are comfortable with. Because in fintech, you have to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that gets to comfort, but then something else will lead you to uncomfort. But at the end of the day, when you have good partners, it leads you through that and helps you break through those walls. And mm-hmm. I think that's what's been so important for me to realize is, yes, you may be uncomfortable right now, but you will be comfortable. And as long as we've mitigated all those risks, we'll get there. And we have good communication. Transparency has been key.
Don, same question to do, and maybe a count of how many times you've strolled into Rick's office and you've seen him, crying or weeping during the process, I think would be an interesting kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah, he was right before this podcast. So we got him a little whiskey. We got him squared away. So yeah.
That's perfect.
I kind of mentioned my first one, that language, but my second, and this is real in community banks, not just us, but there's a lot of different generations in the governance of community banks right now, at the ownership board and executive level. And now here's my disclaimer. We are an equal opportunity employer. There is all generations have value, blah, 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 blah. But we've got traditionalists. We've got baby boomers. We've got Gen Xers. We've got millennials all there. And you've got the evolution going on in banking and financial transactions, fintech being one of them. So trying to describe and keep on the same page those different generational power centers through this new evolution, and like Rick said, as fast as it wants to change, as many times as it wants to change, I find myself having those constant conversations of just teaching what this is and also what it's not. I mean, I've fielded questions from some of the my older colleagues going, this will take us away from community banking. And no, it won't. This is actually where community banking is going. And so there's a lot of those conversations and they're important conversations, and everybody's concern, you know, absolutely has validity. You know, change is scary, evolution is scary, but we just believe the evolution is occurring. We see it occurring in our customer base. We see it occurring in the industry. I think we all know and agree that it's occurring, and you have to be a part of that. As scary as it may be, you have to be a part of it. And Rick said it well, transparency, communication, and also patience and listening, and that constant education, that constant teaching is so, so critically important.
You know, I love that kind of walkthrough of the generational stuff, because that's really a key thing that there's disputes around community bank is or isn't going this way, or this is going to be important or that's going to be important. And what I've realized is you don't have to like a particular direction, but you have to accept it. Mm-hmm. And getting the, you know, there's certain things in the way of the world. Personally, this is a Nikki thing. I struggle a bit with AI because I'm like, what's that going to mean? And what's going to happen? And all the things. And whether I like it or not, it's happening. So there's an acceptance component to that. And then you can launch off from that point. And one thing that I think is when you talk about all the different generations that are influencing, maybe I'm not sure if I caught it exactly right, but the board level or anything else, there's an acceptance thing that takes time for people to get there. And so that's a really, really great point that you made. So Don, for you, I think about what a significant move this is. You know, we generational conversations, the industry, all the different things that are happening, and you're the CEO. And so for you to be able to stay the course and get to this point with board and everybody else, I know it takes a village. But not only for Starian, for Central Payments, but we think for the industry as a whole, this is a significant move. So what are you most excited about as it relates to this new business line for Starian in general? And then I would say, if you could follow on with, what does it mean to you personally as the CEO?
I think in general, when I took the CEO position 4 years ago, I told our board of directors and our ownership that there are parts of our culture our culture is beautiful, but it needs to evolve. So there are parts that need to be maintained, but there are parts that need to evolve. And what's exciting to me is that this is one part that needs to evolve. I mean, we talk starting with that customer base, starting with the disruption, starting with the changes that are going on, technology, that, you know, all of that, you know, we have to evolve with that. I've had this direct conversation with the board several times. You know, 25 years ago, I was in college. And at the time, the first cell phone came out. And at the time, the way you could bank is you could go into a bank and meet with someone face to face. You could call them on a landline, or then you could just start call them on a cell phone. Now look, 25 years later, it's chat, virtual, cell, in person, through third parties, mobile apps, online websites. I mean, so think about where it's going to be 25 years from now. And it's going to be even more evolved. I don't even think we can think of the ways that banking is going to interact and humans are going to transact financially 25 years from now. I don't think those concepts have even been developed. So that's rewarding for me, that one, I'm living up to something that I stated to the board when I took this job that I would do. That's a personal reward, because I'm a type of guy, I want to provide value. I want to have a stability for my team, but I also want to recognize the world we're in and adapt with it and grow with it. So for me, this move with you guys, this move into this space, it hits all those buttons.
It sure does. And I, again, can't commend you enough for having that level of integrity and get her doneness to take it to the end. So this has been just such a joy to highlight the episode and our partnership. Is there anything else, Rick or Don or both, that you guys would want to share with the listeners? Anything else you think is important at this point?
I think for me, just to wrap up, anybody considering getting in this space, especially any of the community bankers on the call, is, you know, recognize the reality. Sit down in your strategic planning and really talk through, you know, what will the next 5, 10, 15 years look like in the community banking industry, and give that an honest assessment. And then ask yourselves, you know, where are we at in evolving with that or preparing with that? And if you find spaces like we did, I think the smartest thing we did out of all of it was we said in our strategy, the very first thing is we have to learn. We have to be humble and recognize that we're not the experts in this space. And so we've got a lot of learning to do. And that drove us ultimately to you guys and where we're at right now, is because we wanted to learn first. And I think that's really important, both for risk mitigation in this space, and also for, you know, the speed of change, the speed of evolution. So I would highly recommend that to anybody is learn first.
I just want to thank you guys for allowing us time to come on and speak to your listeners and to you guys. And I know we've said some nice things, and now you're going to have to kind of help Eric get back to level set here and do some things. Yep. But, you know, I can't speak highly enough of the process and understanding. And like Don said, this has been a learning game, and it's been eye-opening. Don always talks about a three-legged stool and understanding client bases and understanding the different areas that we can get into. And I think this for community banks is going to be a very key thing as we move forward in the evolution of banking. And so if you're not in it now, maybe you need to look into it just to see if that's something that you want to be into. If not, that's okay, because traditional banks still going to be around. But if you want to get into this space, there's a whole different client base, and people are continually moving in different directions. And that's what we hope to be in, and hope to be in different households, and can't appreciate this partnership enough.
And I think I'll tack one last thought onto that, because it bodes well, is this can be done well. You know, there's a lot of press out there about what not to do, and that's just the industry or the world we live in is bad. Negative attention gets more attention, but this can be done well. And I think we're excited to demonstrate that, take the model that we have, partner with a bank like Starian, and I can't say it.
Restraint.
So with that, I will just say there will be a follow-on episode, and we will be announcing who that partner and brand is. And this is a game changer. And so I thank you guys for the time this afternoon, and really just articulating so well what the journey's been like and what you're excited about. So this was our pleasure to have you here, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.